Hebrews chapter 4 this morning. And I want to ask again that please be aware of the presence of God this morning, and because what the scripture is sharing with us is probably one of the most freeing things since our salvation. I don't want to rush past this. Last week we spoke of the Israelites not entering Canaan because of unbelief. Many might ascertain that the rest spoken of by the Holy Spirit will be realized in glory. But that would be a waste of time if we were to say the rest that God promises is when we die. And why would He urge us to do that now? No, the rest that's talked about is the rest that you and I can have now, today. Speaking of the rest of God, realize while we are still in these temporary dwellings, our tents, and today's a special day for we're going to commit to that rest together, and I believe we can attain it if we follow the assertions of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells us, beginning in verse 1, Hebrews 4, reading out of the New King James Version, "Therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. With all that God did with the Israelites to release them from bondage, we know that He was angered and they did not enter His rest." A lot of effort, a lot of lives. It cost the Egyptian army their lives. It cost the firstborn their lives in Egypt. With all the effort that God put in setting the Israelites free from bondage, they denied the Lord. Scripture said last week, we read it in chapter 3, He was angry and they did not enter His rest. And so we see the weight of importance put on this subject called rest by the Lord. He's the same God that said, they will not enter my rest. And then there's a warning throughout these first chapters of Hebrews that if you and I don't enter the rest here, we're going to have a lot of difficulty there. All of our works being burned up. With all that God did to deliver the Israelites from bondage, He was angered. Two stages that they went through. Life in the wilderness, they knew the Lord as the Savior. He had delivered them. You and I know the Lord as Savior. The cross and His atonement for our sins, we've experienced. Then they knew Him in the promised land as priest and King of heaven. We are getting to know the Lord as the sanctifier and the cleanser completely. He writes God's law in our hearts. And it gives us revelation of our position. How many know we're not under the circumstances? We're seated in heavenly places in Christ. Nothing is above us. Everything is under our feet. Come on, say with me, everything is under my feet. That's not because of me, because I could mess up very easily. Come on, someone. How many can make a mess of things real quick? And I get a hold of it, look out. God knew that about me, and I venture to guess He knew that about you. And so He did it for us. Nothing could be simpler. Christ won the whole thing for us so that all we have to do is believe. That's a big word, believe. Believe and receive. So this morning we're going to believe and we'll receive. This morning's going to be like going from kindergarten to graduate school. I've asked the Holy Spirit to give us revelation on this because given the time, listen very carefully, given the time that we live in, given the task that lays before the church, we absolutely need this truth. If not, it will absolutely overcome us, the job that lies before us. The world's a mess. And it's not going to get straightened out in one conference. It's not going to get straightened out in resurgence of employment or anything like that. You and I. There must be a victory that is realized if we were to take full advantage of what Christ has won for us. Imagine being satisfied with half a car. Imagine if you went to a car dealership and they said, yeah, this car is the greatest things in the world. Come, let me show you. And you went out and there was only half a car there. No doors. Only half a top. Two tires. Yes, you can have this today for $45,000. You look at the guy like he was an idiot. Christ didn't come to win us half the glory. He didn't come to just do partial for us and then we do the rest. Christ came to do the whole thing so that you and I, all we need to do is believe. Can it be accomplished here? That is the challenge that few want to contemplate, for to achieve a consistent, victorious existence would mean we'd have to sustain it. And I believe the promise is there. So let's pray. Father, I pray this morning for this very great truth that you've revealed to us in your word. Lord, you're asking us to believe something that's been maybe very hard for us to do in the past, but Lord, we want to not only believe, but embrace it and walk in it this morning. Open your word to us, O God. I come against every distraction, all weariness. Lord, I pray for particular attention paid to your scriptures today, that we might walk in the finished works of Calvary. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm here today to remind you that what Christ has already done has already been done for you. Enter His rest. The rest in Canaan was for victory and through victory. Merely knowing God as a conqueror is not enough. It's just knowledge. We sing the old song that said, we've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just merely knowing Him as victor is not enough. It's knowing the completeness of that victory by winning over the enemy. How many feel pretty good when you've won over the enemy? I've been on the other end where I've been beat up because of my lack of faith. Is there anybody else that's with me? How many have been bruised because of our lack of faith? Christ never intended it to be that way. The expectation of sin needs to go away. Sin needs to be a surprise, not an expectation. Every time I say that, I get weird looks. I had a conversation with a Christian the other day about not having to sin. I said, you don't have to sin. Sin now is a choice for you. Oh, I have to sin. Well, why do you have to sin? Well, because it's there. Just because sin is offered to me doesn't mean I have to take it. If I've truly entered the rest of God, it's already done. The escape has already been made for me. I don't have to sin. I was talking about this when Rochester won its third football game this last Friday night, Rochester High School. Everybody say yay. Anyway, I was talking to John Fearnow about this, and he gave me a call yesterday. I missed a phone call, but he left me a message about the old Gaither hymn, "My Faith Has Found a Resting Place." You can look that up and play it on your smart device later. Let me share the verses. "My faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument, I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt. A sinful soul, I come to him. He'll never cast me out. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood." God did it. He did it for us. The writer of Hebrews is encouraging us simply to receive what God has did. You and I are offered the same promise that the Israelites received when they went into Canaan land. When they went into Canaan land, as long as they obeyed the voice of God, Achan and Ie, they found that they didn't obey and they paid the price. As long as we're obedient to the word, we have victory over sin. Come on, someone. We have victory over sin. What's that mean? It means that we don't have to sin. And we have victory over the enemy. It's not that he doesn't attack. It's not that we don't have temptation. It's that we win. And we yield to the Lord. Not through death. That happened at salvation. You and I died at salvation. We're not dying again. We are dying to ourselves, but we're not dying. How many know there is no death for the saint? Say amen quick before you got to think about that. So we step from here into glory. Why? Because Christ won it for us. Look at verse 2. It says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." We think the gospel was preached after Christ came. The gospel has been preached throughout time and eternity. It was preached to them and us. They were kept out because of unbelief. Unbelief closes the heart against God, and it renders the word ineffective. We need to get rid of all unbelief in our lives. We have promises in Christ. Some of those promises, we can do all things through Him. Philippians 4:13. "I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." How many things can I do? All things. Superman ain't got nothing on me. Come on, someone. I'm 10 foot tall and bulletproof because of Christ. I'm victorious because of Christ. The enemy comes against me, he's coming against a formidable foe that's going to win every battle. We have promises in Christ. In Galatians 5:16, it says that we can walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and will not do the deeds of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? Just be who God made us to be. How do we walk in the Spirit? It's not brain surgery. It's not rocket science. We walk in the Spirit because we are spiritual beings. We have promises in Christ. The peace of God. The peace that God gives us in John 14:27. Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you." We have the peace of God in all circumstances. I see Christians getting all upset about things that are happening in the world. Folks, God told us thousands of years ago it was going to happen. You talk about telegraphing. This shouldn't surprise any of us, the way that the world is going. That's the way the world, it was designed to falter. It was designed to end. It was designed to quit. Come on, someone. This whole system is going to fall apart. Only God and His kingdom is eternal. John 15:11, Jesus promises us joy. Joy. These truths are for us now, today. We're to walk in them. If we do not believe, we cannot enjoy the freedom that it provides for us. Verse 3 says, "For we who have believed do enter that rest." Say, have believed. That's past tense. For we who have believed do enter that rest as he has said, so I swore in my wrath they shall not enter it, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So I love the wording that the Holy Ghost does. He says, we shall not enter the rest, but we who have believed do enter that rest. Not shall, not will, but do, if we believe it is done. Let me ask you, what or who can separate us from the love of Christ? What or who can separate us from Him? Nothing. So why do we let things separate us? If nothing separates us, why do we let things separate us? It's because of our weakness. When we trust in God, every time He comes through, who can separate us? What can be done to us? My life is His. Listen, persecution is not a sign of God's displeasure. It is an act of a vindictive enemy. We'll suffer persecution, but it's not because of God. It's because of the vindictive enemy. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It comes with the territory. It makes us strong. But we're victorious and we win over persecution and tribulation. We talked about that last week. The works are finished from when? From the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. It's been tried and proven, His Word. Generations have walked and been victorious. But this is a personal word for you. This is not just a general word for the body of Christ. This is a personal word for you. This you can receive. It must be for every individual. And it is a must for every individual. This is a word for you this morning. You must be born again, and the Word of God says you must enter His rest. I'm born again. Yeah, that's true. But are you striving on your own? Are you having difficulty with things in your life? You're having difficulty with health. You're having difficulty with prosperity. You're having difficulty with other things that God promises us that we'll have, that we already have because Christ won it for us. No more jealousy. This entering His rest, no more jealousy. We're not jealous of somebody else. Somebody else has got it better than us. Listen, we all have the same opportunity. Turn to somebody and say, you have the same opportunity as I do. Listen, if that's not true, if what I'm saying is not true, then God is not fair. Come on, someone. Then we have to mount some kind of rebellion against God. To say, God, you're not, we'll get a contingent of people and go before God and say, you know, everybody is equal, but Brad, Pastor Brad. Pastor Brad is above us and we don't, no. God said we are all open and equal to the same blessing and victory as everybody else. I'm not talking about station of life. I'm talking about victory. This is a personal word for you. No more competition. No more broken relationships. This rest involves peace and joy, perfect love and perfect understanding. And this rest talked about, there's two stages in rest. One is, Moses brought the children of Israel out. They were released from a lifetime of bondage. Christ has brought us out of sin. Is anybody there this morning? Christ has brought us out of sin. Sin has no dominion over me. All the ramifications of sin, all the results of sin, all the temptation of sin, everything is under the blood of Jesus Christ. He's brought me out from them. Moses brought them out. Jesus brought us out. Joshua brought them in. They realized the promise made by God. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus did both for us. As priest, He cleansed us. By His own blood, He cleansed us so that we're clean and righteous before Him. And as a king, He crowns us. We receive the glory. It is finished. His blood made the way through the veil of His flesh to a glorious destiny planned before time. That promise is realized when we enter His rest. Hebrews goes on to say in verse 4, "For He has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all His works. And again, in this place they shall not enter My rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience." Again, He designates a certain day, saying in David, "Today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day." My friend, faith gives rest. We're not looking at changing the way the world is. The world is going to be the way the world is. But faith gives us rest because faith rests in God. It allows God to do all. Starting every day with God, "You're in control. God, please take care of me. God, you've promised that you'd provide for me." It's resting in God and not striving in the flesh and striving on our own. If I allow myself, I can be a worrywart. I can worry a lot if I allow myself. I start thinking about the rest of my life and I could, well, what if this happens or what if that happens? And when I start down that path, fear grips me. Come on, we're all human today. Am I speaking to human beings? But see, because of what Christ has done for us, we have a way of escape from those things, because the end product, when we enter into fear, we enter into projection. Because if you're anything like me, when I start down that road, I want to complete it in my mind. If this happens, then this, and this. And God has caught me short so many times. God says, "Wait a minute, that's not going to happen. I'm here. I've provided for you." Anybody else there? That's the rest of God. And it's so complete that we don't even have to go down that path. Those calisthenics, those mental gymnastics that we do, we don't have to do. His blood made the way. It allows God to do all. It is in God alone. It involves total surrender to Him. "God, if I enter your rest, that means that you're going to do everything that needs done and you'll take care of it. I just need to worship you and to obey you and to walk in you and to understand that you are the Lord of my life. If I live, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain." Perfect rest is His perfect work. That faith is in Christ Himself. It gives us insight into His finished work. He has salvation complete for me. There is nothing added. There's no secret password when I pass into glory to get there. It has already been done. He shares His perfection with me. And I am a partaker with Him. He loves me so much that He shares His glory with me. He shares His victory with me. How many like that? We've been made more than conquerors. He conquered and He shares that conquering with us. And when we stand in Jesus' name, we rebuke the enemy. He goes. He has to flee. Resist the devil and he'll flee. Why? Because Christ has done it for us. Christ has completed all. He put away sin. He rent the veil. He sat down at the right hand of God. We have entered in with Him, praise God. Our place is with Him, praise God. And many today do not enjoy the rest that God speaks of. Many maybe here this morning have difficulty. They've never received, you've never received the revelation of the rest of God. When I received the revelation, it did so much to bring peace in me. And the victory that is Christ. Jesus has entered in for us already. He rests. God said to him, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for you. Jesus has entered the rest of glory. And he invited us to that place. It's not a place of turmoil. It's not a place of strife. It's not a place of wondering. It's not a place of anxiety. It's a place of peace and joy. Chaos happens all around us. That's because the world is the world. But that chaos does not enter into my life if I've entered the rest of God. That rest is a fortress for us. Christ has completed all. All that is required of us, my friend, is for us simply to believe it, just like we believe we're saved. If I ask you, you're saved, of course I'm saved. You're going to heaven, of course I'm going to heaven. Are you victorious in everything? Let me think about that. No, just as we're saved, we're victorious in everything. Doesn't mean we're not going to get attacked. It doesn't mean we're not going to go through warfare. But when we do, we are always victorious. Andrew Murray said, entering the rest of God is a personal, practical experience of the soul that receives the Word in living faith, because in it, one receives Jesus on the throne. Many have no problem receiving Christ on the cross. That vision, that thing that happened one time in history, it doesn't happen anymore. He entered in once. He died once for the sins of the world. That vision that we get of him hanging on a cross brings all kinds of feelings and all kinds of awe-inspiring tears, because he became weak that he might be strong. But let me tell you something. Jesus is no longer on a cross and he is no longer weak. See, this entering the rest, we envision him where he is now, on the throne, completely victorious, having put his enemies to rest, having put his enemies to flight, he entered the rest that was provided him by his action. Verse 9 says, there remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. Verse 10 says, for he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Now here's the caveat. That means when we enter the rest, that's it. That is it. When we enter the rest, no longer do I count on my works to win me anything. Anything I do for God, I do out of pure love, not because I'm trying to attain anything. It's already been attained. The Word encourages us to rest from our works. The rest promised will remain until it is received. This rest is for you today. You may have been a Christian for 30 years and never realized the rest of God, but it's remaining there for you. It's a covenant promise won at the cross. It's not anything that it had an expiration date on it, or God says, I won't give it to you now because you've lived this long without my rest and you can make it the rest of the way. No, the rest of God is a promise for today. That's why the Word of God says, today if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts. God is waiting for you to receive it by faith. God, you mean you've already done this whole thing and I don't have to worry anymore and I don't have to give cause to staying up wondering about my eternal life? God, you mean I don't have to worry about who's going to provide for me should there be all the stress that they're talking about in the world? Listen, my friend, God will always provide for us. Turn to somebody and say, God will always provide for us. Do you believe that? There are Christians right now in Texas that are being provided for by the Father. I would love to hear the miracles that are taking place. I hope somebody's got a camera and a mic, because there's miracles taking place all over Texas right now. Because the Holy Spirit will always live up to His promise. Come on, somebody. It's a real Sabbath rest. On the seventh day, God rested. And he says, come, enter that kind of rest. That, how many know when God rests, that means rest? It means that we cease from works. Works do not qualify us. Somebody says, I have to be busy about the things of the Lord. I have to do this. I have to do that. God does not drive. He leads. Say that with me. God does not drive. He leads. How many of you want to serve a God that's always behind you? Get up. Do something. Why don't you do something? Get over there. I told you. No, God leads. He directs. He guides us. Our works do not justify us. We're justified by the blood of Jesus. Usually what happens, it happens in two stages with us. When we first get saved, we seek God as to our responsibilities. After failure, we cease from our works. It may be that you've gotten used to the cycle of success and failure, success and failure, success and failure. Somebody said the tire is only flat on one side. No work that you will do, my friend, will win you the favor of God. Nothing. Oh, I'm gonna do without. I'm gonna fast. No, that's not gonna win you favor. We do those things because we love not to win something from Him. And so God calls us to die to ourselves. Not just ceasing from works, but ceasing from the self thing, self-confidence. I don't have any confidence in the flesh. I have confidence in Christ. Come on, somebody. My mom used to call people like that fancy pants. Anybody ever hear that term? Mom used to say, well, he's such a fancy pants. No self-confidence. No self-worth. I'm not worth anything without Christ. Without Jesus, I'm zero with the rim kicked off. But I do have Jesus, and I can do all things. He gets the glory. The spotlight is always on Him, and I walk in those finished works. Selfish motives are gone. We live our lives to please Him. We live in obedience to the Lord. Romans 6:6 says that we have died with Christ, and we are raised with Him. Colossians 3 tells me to set my mind on things above, not on things of the earth. For I have died and my life is hidden in Christ. The whole key of this is to realize what Christ did and walk in those. When we cease from our works, we enter His rest. So we need to resign from our works and re-sign to what Christ did. Not I, but Christ. The unconverted, of course, say, not Christ, but I. The slothful, the lazy said, it is I and Christ. I share the spotlight. But soon, and what's hopefully happening in our lives, we're changing, and we see that it's Christ first, but we're still trying to get the credit. But the mature Christian, not I, but Christ. Doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm just being obedient. Entering His rest means the victory is promised because He's already done it. And the Scripture tells us to be diligent. In verse 11 of chapter 4, it says, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Wait a minute now. Now it's really getting touchy. Because he's talking about the same thing that happened. He's talking about chapter 3 and chapter 2 where it says the Israelites were disobedient and God was angry with them and they did not enter the rest. They died having never received the promise. This warning is for us. All these other things are encouraging us to make that step. But if we don't, he again calls us to the example of the Israelites. And I don't want to get into all the theology about that. But I don't know about you, but that scares me. I don't want to go there. Let us give due diligence to entering the rest of God. Diligence means to make haste and be in earnest. Put your whole heart into it. The rest spoken of here must occur or the remainder of the epistle will be a mystery. Hebrews will remain a mystery. The promises of God, the rest of God, the kingdom of God will remain out of reach for those that will not enter this rest that it's talked about. Today, Holy Spirit is commanding you and I to cease our striving and wholly surrender and walk in that finished work of Christ. I encourage you, settle it now, today. No matter what's transpired before, settle it now on this moment. There is such a rest. It's the rest of God that's prepared for me. God, I want to walk in that rest. This promise, by the way, is to live free of care and anxiety. How many would like to live the rest of your life never being anxious for anything? I got both hands up. If I could, I'd float and put both feet up. But it's a promise for us. Come on, are we playing a game or is this real? Well, listen to what the Scripture says. It says, be anxious for nothing. Well, wait a minute, God. You mean be anxious for most things? Because there's some things I can get anxious about. Anybody with me? There are things I can get anxious about. Like when there's not enough month at the end of my money. I can get anxious. How many have ever been there? You need to trust God for things. How many have ever been where you're just anxious and then God provides? How many know that God is never early and seldom early and never late? It seems like God isn't hearing us and we get all up and anxious and excited and then God provides and all of that angst that we went through, we find we didn't have to. What does God say? God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't worry. Worry is a sign of doubt and unbelief. And what is doubt and unbelief? Let not that man think he'll receive anything. Is this a game we're playing or is this... See, God says, I provided for you because I'm coming for a victorious church. I'm coming for a bride without spot or blemish. These are the spots and blemishes on the body of Christ when we worry and we're anxious and we don't believe and we have not received. God is waiting to create a whole generation of victorious and overcoming Christians that have no anxiety. Put our whole heart into it. Live free of care and anxiety. Oh, Jesus, I said this morning, I said, Jesus, I want to realize it. I've realized pockets of it. I've went quite a while without care and anxiety and fear. And then something comes and trips me up. And I'm glad I'm glad God forgives. I'm glad the blood of Jesus is there for if we sin, He is faithful and just. Because when we allow anxiety and fear to take place, we enter into sin. We call it a weakness or a failure. We've got to call it what it is. It's sin. Cease from your works. All self-working stops. With Him you are buried and in Him you live. Trust Jesus to bring you in. Set your heart on Him and trust Him. Receive all of Christ, not just as Savior. Let Him do His work in you as the Lord. Through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Perfect rest will come. If we commit to it, it will take place. What we've got to do is get all the learning that we've had out of us. We gotta expel the learning that has brought us to a wrong place. We've created another gospel in our generation. We've created a gospel that we take the credit whenever things go right and we blame God whenever things go wrong. And when we should be blaming ourselves when things go wrong and give all the credit when things go the way they're supposed to God. Come on, somebody. We've created a place that... But God is not fooled. In verse 12 it says, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God searches our heart. He's searching our heart this morning with this truth presented to us. Our hearts may be hidden from others, but they're never hidden from God. Our hearts are in full view of the Lord this morning. The Scripture says it's living and active, the Word. The Word of God is like a seed. It depends on how it is treated. It must be followed and we must submit to it. If we want it to take hold and flourish and grow in us, we've got to submit to it. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. Did anybody realize the first action of the Word is to cut and to wound us? The Word of God not only places things in us, it cuts things out of us. Come on, somebody. It hurts to give up these things because it's soulless. It's comfortable for us. We take pleasure in the pain. We take pleasure in anxiety because that's part of the thing that we built this relationship with God. God, you know that I'm an anxious person and you know that I've got to go through this in calisthenics. And God says, I've got a shortcut. You don't need to wander through the wilderness for 40 years. Just come straight to the promised land. You don't have to pay for sin. You don't have to receive things out of the tent and in the tabernacle. All those things were a shadow of the things to come. That's the whole purpose of Hebrews. Is to tell us it's all done. We enter into His rest and walk in His finished works. The first action of the Word is to cut. Let Him remove that old junky way of thinking and an old anxious way that we have. It says that it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents. And it gets right to the heart, the center and seat of our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. Yielding to God is not an option, my friend. It is a command. If you're a child of God, it's not an option. It's not a line saying, if you want to yield to God, get in this line. If you don't want to yield to God, get in this line. And they're both going to take you to my perfect will. This is not A, B, C, D. If you don't like one, you can get the other. No, it's a command to enter the rest of God. It's a command. Yielding to Him is not an option. It's a command. When we yield, He'll build. Then it goes on to say in verse 13, there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. He is all-knowing, and we must give account to Him. Again, this is not an option, my friend. It will happen. All of us will stand before Him one day and make account for our lives. God provides us a way that guarantees victory. We stand before Him and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. What He'll be patting us on the back for is hiding in Christ, allowing Christ to work through us. It's not how much we've done, it's what we've allowed Christ to do through us. Well done, good and faithful servant, because we've allowed Jesus, our high priest, to do. Because, verse 14, watch what it says. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Where is our rest? It's in Christ. Christ, we hold on to You. Because of His sacrifice, we are able to see. We are owned by Him, and we own Christ. He's ours. Christ is mine. Nobody could take Him from me. Did you ever think of that? Christ, we are owned by Christ, but we own Jesus. Come on now. I'm not a heretic. I own Christ. I embrace Christ. He's mine. You get your own. Come on. Jesus is ours. Romans 6:10 said, for the death that He died once for all. But the life that He lives to God. He's passed through the heavenlies. He's got all that it takes. In Hebrews 9:12, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. Hebrews 10:10 says, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. We have been sanctified. He accomplished all the requirements. Colossians 2:14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Somebody say amen quick. The handwriting of requirements has been removed. Not just jumped over, not just going around. It's been removed. Jesus is the Son of God, the Scriptures say. The name Jesus speaks of His humanity. The Son of God speaks of His deity. He did it. He passed through the heavens. He did everything. And as if we think He's some kind of a superhuman being, which He is, that doesn't care for us, that's not right, because He says in verse 15, He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Why? Because He was tempted in all points as we are. And yet He was without sin. Jesus is able to take us through those trials because He said, I've been there. I have been there. Come on with me. I'll show you how to win victory. Come on. That way of escape is no more than just running through a door. It's going through the powerful path that Jesus took to stay away from sin. Scripture says for us to hold fast our confession. With all our hearts, we must cling to the truth that this offers us. God offers us complete and total victory. It transcends above all the trappings our mortal body faces. He knows what we face. He did it without sin, and He allows us to have that same victory. It's one thing to know the saving grace of God. It's much better to know the keeping grace of God. Let me say it again. It's one thing to know the saving grace of God. He saved me. If I sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I get that. Thank you, God, that You do that. But God's perfect will is that I don't do the sin at all, that I walk in victory, that because of His rest, I have the victory I walk in it. That seems so high above where we are and what we've been used to. But God promises us this rest. Let us therefore, chapter 4 closes with this, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Because the truth is, we still live in these bodies. We're still going to be tempted. We're still going to be accosted by the enemy. We're still going to be offered things. We're still going to have things that plague us. But listen, we have the victory at every turn. We come boldly before the throne room of grace. God, I'm being tempted. Lord, help! And it comes immediately. Why? Because we've entered His rest. It's not something we have to earn. It's not something that we have to beg God for. Now, we receive that today in Jesus' name. I'm not going to ask for hands because all of us need to receive the rest of the Lord. God, thank You this morning. God, thank You this morning for Your rest. Thank You this morning, God, that You completed it all, Jesus. Lord, You left nothing to chance. You left nothing for us to wonder or worry about or be anxious about. You left nothing out of place, God. You did it all, completed it on Calvary. You won that place as high priest. You won that place as king. And You welcome us to that same place in You. God, I receive this morning that rest. And I choose with all my heart to walk in that rest, to receive what's already been done. My friend, there's nothing you need to do. It's just receive it by faith. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. So holy time. I know I've gone a little bit longer. Thank You for Your patience. Be set free. Be made free this morning. Cease striving. And know that He is God. Rest in Him. God, I thank You. I thank You, God, that You are well pleased with us because of Jesus. Jesus, I thank You that You did it for us. People are being set free right now from what's been plaguing you for years. There's a couple people here. you had a tremendous failure in your past. You've not been able to forgive yourself of that. Let me tell you, it's under the blood of Jesus right now. I believe something was said from the worship team this morning about that same thing. Let it go. Let it go. You've been forgiven. It's covered by the blood of Jesus. He's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. It's a holy place today. God, thank you. We walk in the finished works of your Son. God, thank you for the grace and mercy and the rest that you provided for us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Almighty God. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you search our hearts. Whatever needs cut out, do it right now, God. We receive it by faith. It's already been done in you, Jesus. We give you all the glory this morning. You've fashioned us for greatness. We're a generation that will receive you, Jesus, as our groom. God, thank you for the victory won. And everyone said, Amen.